So that's me in a nutshell. I love artist management. I've got my side hustle. I'm being a nanny, that is, which helps me pay my bills. And, you know, throughout this podcast, there is going to be that reality of that. I think it's definitely important to show people that, like, even managers who may seem successful or seem like they're able to get their artists into places that you didn't think your band could go, it's like, well, we're all on the same wavelength. We're all doing a second job, or we're all trying to make things work and build something up into this awesome career. You know, will I succeed? Will you succeed? We don't know. But goddamn, are we going to try our hardest? And that's why I called this podcast Your Music, Your Business, because it's your business to make your music valuable and to make it stand out from the crowd and for you to put everything you have into it. And I think if you don't treat it like a business, you're just kidding yourself. Welcome. My name is Jazz, and today this podcast is all about, well, me, which sounds a bit bizarre and a bit pretentious, but that's okay. So today I wanted to sort of give you a background on who I am and introduce the podcast a little bit. I am hoping that this podcast will turn into something that will help inspire you to figure out the business side of your music, because let's be real. I think in today's day and age in the music industry, you can't not see it as business. I am an artist manager based out of Melbourne, Australia. I've actually not lived here my whole life. I actually grew up in sunny Gold Coast, which most people are shocked by when I say that. They go, why on earth did you move? I moved because my family grew up here, which was fantastic. Like I didn't have any family in the Gold Coast. So when I moved to all my family, which was just beyond great. But I also moved because obviously the music industry is so much stronger here, but also because there was a university here that was going to teach me exactly what I felt I needed to know. I moved for a Bachelor of Entertainment Management. And honestly, I don't know where I would be in my career without that bachelor. I know a lot of people in the music industry have done their bachelor and not had any use for it. I know a lot of people in the music industry have never done anything in regards to formal training. And I don't know. I'm a believer of having the knowledge is power, and my course covered everything. I know things about arts law. I know things about marketing and consumers and touring. I wrote a tour budget. I created artwork for clients, like huge clients that went on to like win arias with the artwork that we created in our classroom, which was just crazy. There was entrepreneurship, which obviously I excelled in. There was just like so much rich content, and it was done within 2 years, which thinking back on it now, why did I ever think that was a smart idea, doing a bachelor within 2 years? It was honestly insane. And I'm so lucky that I did have my family to support me during that time. I think there's definitely people in my course that did not have that. And they struggled. So I got through mine within 2 years, which is fantastic. And since starting that bachelor, I've been managing bands. So now it's almost close to 5 years that I've been managing emerging artists, which has been such a ride. It comes with so many ups and downs. And I think that's one thing about this podcast that I want to keep real, is that like the music industry is hard, and in no aspect is there not a struggle of like a story of struggle, sorry. And there's always something that we've had to overcome or learnt about ourselves. And I think that is a journey that we all need to see, because it's not seen enough in our industry. It's sort of like, you know, oh, wow, look at this band. They just got played on Triple J as a premiere, and we got placed here and placed there for our release. They're doing so well. We're on the hype train. It's like people, I love when people say that that's what we want them to buy into. But behind that is like the blood, sweat, and tears that goes into that. And how anticlimactic it sometimes feels to release something, which I'm sure if you've done before, you 100% get that. And I think that's why I've become a manager. I definitely tell people that the reason why I became a manager is I was in high school. I had a passion for music. I was had an opportunity to do backstage at my drama classes. So I was definitely that music drama kid, a bit of a nerd. And I, yeah, had the opportunity backstage to run the backstage and basically be in charge. And I think from then on, I was like, oh, well, I like music and I like being bossy and like being in charge. I don't see myself ever wanting to be told what to do. So how about I just do artist management, or how about I have my own business? And it really did just flow for me when I, once I moved, it was sort of like, no, I need to be the person who in some ways is calling the shots, but then also doing it collaboratively, which I feel like maybe the biggest difference between myself and other managers is because I can't work right now with my artists unless it's collaboratively. I just don't feel like I'm giving them the correct service by like taking away their autonomy and their right to make decisions about their career. Like there's some managers out there that are like, this is how we're doing it, this is who I've talked to, this is what you're now backed into, please sign here on the dotted line. And I just like, that's not management for me. Like I can't even imagine doing that. I work one-on-one with my clients, or one-on-five because there's five people in a band usually, and we collaboratively decide about what the brand looks like, what the music is like, which music we're going to release. I don't tell them how to write their music, like who we're going to connect with now and how we're going to do it. And, you know, what are they doing in their personal lives? And what am I doing in my personal life to make this work or not work? And what were the strengths and weaknesses of our previous releases? Like, I can't imagine doing it any other way, to be honest, which will be interesting when my business gets bigger, trying to manage that. But, like, I just don't ever see that ever changing. I think there's a huge value in creating that space for people to, what's the word, feel like that they've, the project that they're representing and that they're performing for consistently and that they're writing for consistently, it's like that it's theirs and it's not just like something that they've been told to, you know, like a show dog to just sit, jump, go there. Like they actually do have power over it, which, you know, the other extreme of that is rare, like where they don't have any power. And I think there is a reality that people do need to understand is like there is, the higher up you get, the more efficient it becomes for somebody to just be calling the shots. But for those like mid-level bands that have opted in for management, they're either getting one or two things where it's like they've got a manager, but it's like scratch level. They're just helping them with getting new networks. I think there's definitely a space for that, but I feel like you're missing out on the in-between that makes a band and like that bands sign in on, or sorry, opt in for is more of the word. And then the other side of that is like the artists that are just so big that, or like mid-range artists that like just sign over all the rights to, not sign over, but like they say yes to their management taking over every aspect of their careers. And it's just like, why? You have no balance then. You have no idea about what's actually going on. You're just saying, yes, I'll go here. Which, you know, everybody has their different personality types, but I don't think that works. I don't think at the end of the day, when you're, you know, I always use with my clients that, you know, when you're in your 80s, telling with your grandchild sitting on your lap, what are you going to tell them? Are you even going to be alive for that? Is more of a question sometimes. But then also like what do you want to be saying to them? You want to be saying that you sold out stadiums? Do you want to be saying that you were a huge part of creating this like worldwide known project. Like, what is that? And I think that's definitely what sort of represents me as a manager, is sort of talking one-on-one with my clients about what's the purpose of this band. It's not just to release the music, it's to create something that's actually impactful and lasts forever, preferably, against all the odds, because why would you aim for anything less is what I don't get, which there are some people out there, I get that, but like, if you're working with me, you need to be there to be doing it full time, or want to be doing it full time, or want that to be your life, at least for the very moment that you're working with me anyway. So I think that's why I'm love management and why I chose that. I also run events because that sort of correlates really nicely. And I think what I really wanted to point out is why I don't do the rest. I do, you know, I am looking at offering digital marketing, and I do consults with artists and help build their careers, and from a manager's perspective, and sort of iron out those kinks for them that aren't working. But in no way do I ever think I will ever be interested in actually being a PR agent. I don't think in any way I'll ever be interested in doing like the record label stuff, the A&R sort of stuff, the booking agent sort of thing. I think like management is definitely my calling, and I think that is purely because you do get to make impactful decisions for people's careers, but in my way, do it collaboratively and see that translate, and not have to hound a million randos through PR about, can you promote this band? And then you have to go and do it for another band the next week. Oh, I could think of nothing worse. I'm like never getting responses. Oh, that sounds like my worst nightmare. I'm the sort of person that will want to talk to somebody, I'll email them, and then I'll like hound them. And then like, if they're somebody that is supposed to be working with my client, we've paid them, boy, you better look out, because I am going to come for you if you're doing the wrong thing. It's like big mama bear sort of coming at you, which, you know, that's a really good segue into my side hustle. And I think that's like really important to be honest with you, is that, like, management isn't my full time. And that's purely because like management is for my full time clients, like that's 20% commission, and 20% commission off emerging artists is jack shit for the time that you put into it. I think it's like almost cents, not even, sometimes with the hours that are put into it. So I actually do have a income that helps me to sort of do my business part-time, and I'm a nanny, which sort of cracks me up because it is a bit of a correlation. So that's me in a nutshell. I love artist management. I've got my side hustle. I'm being a nanny, that is, which helps me pay my bills. And, you know, throughout this podcast, there is going to be that reality of that. I think it's definitely important to show people that, like, even managers who may seem successful or seem like they're able to get their artists into places that you didn't think your band could go, it's like, well, we're all on the same wavelength. We're all doing a second job, or we're all trying to make things work and build something up into this awesome career. You know, will I succeed? Will you succeed? We don't know. But goddamn, are we going to try our hardest?